Hi, welcome into In Focus, News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples, and joined here today for the program by Raleigh County Police Department Director Dennis Butler. Dennis, good morning.
Good morning, Brandon. It's always good to be with you and your listeners.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. We always enjoy this segment. It's too bad we can't have you in studio, but we continue our social distancing here on the radio, just as everyone else is. What's new with you, Director Bell? I know it's been a busy week, really.
Well, it's hard to say specifically. There's so much going on. Hey, Brandon, can I stop for a second? I'm getting feedback on, I can hear my voice echoing.
Okay.
And I don't have you on another device here, so I just wanted to point that out. We're taking day by day here. Every day there's new information, whether it comes from the state or what's happening locally, and we're trying to be flexible and adjust to that. I know our officers are trying to connect more with the community. We're working on some social media and other activities to try to keep them engaged with us in a positive way. The one thing that I think we'll talk about this morning is the crime for the first 2 weeks in April has been down significantly, which we're happy about that, but because of the fact that we've had to have employees self-isolate because they've been around somebody who's displayed symptoms, or maybe they've been around a family or friend who has actually been diagnosed, we've had to keep them at home. So disinfectings, PPEs, all of that stuff is slowing us down in our normal approaches to things. So with crime and calls for service being down, that's been very helpful.
All right. Well, that's good to know. And yeah, we'll definitely get into that for sure. I wanted to start maybe with the news of the week, though, and that was the budget talks that took place during the Raleigh County Law Board meeting on Monday. And if anyone has a question, well, by the way, we do encourage phone calls here, 785-537-1350. We can also take questions via email at studio@1350kman.com. The Law Board recommended you come back next month with a zero budget. I don't think that was too surprising given the current circumstances, but and I know you've agreed to come back with that, but just talk about the challenges that lie ahead over the next 6 months to maybe even a year for the Raleigh County Police Department.
Yeah, in response to your first comment, I did anticipate them asking us to come back with a lower budget than what we had first proposed. We started out this budget process with basically requesting merit increases and cost of living for our employees. There was a part-time position and then an account that's been chronically underfunded that we were trying to properly fund. But going into this most recent meeting, based on what had happened in the last month, my staff and I have met repeatedly to look for ways to come back with a flat budget or even a slightly negative budget next month. So nothing that was proposed. The only thing that was a little surprising was one of the law board members wanted us to bring back a 5, 10, or 15% cut, and that really would be a drastic measure in my mind. I mean, personnel would most likely be laid off. The type of proactive policing, which is rarer and rarer in policing, which helps keep positive relationships and also keep our most serious criminals off the street, would be dramatically impacted. And so we will bring back something that's not quite that draconian, but also is something that I know that law board member would be interested in seeing and just showing what the effects it would be on the department. As far as the next 6 months or so, 6 or 9 months, I think a lot of that depends on whether or not K-State has students on campus in the fall and all of those sporting activities that go along with that. If those students don't come back and those sporting activities don't occur, then I think going into 2021, the community is going to be facing an even steeper challenge than it already is. and that will affect what we do and how we fund and deploy our services.
As far as the you didn't have a ton of needs, I don't think, in the budget originally that was proposed last month, but you did have, I think, a cost of living adjustment, the need for a clerk, and then some crime equipment that was forecasted into that proposal. Is that all based? Well, obviously, it's going to go off the table here, but how important is it to maybe get those eventually here for the police department?
Well, this is the third department I've worked in, and I've been through economic pressures in the past more than once, and I've seen what can happen to a police department when dramatic reductions or positions are held open in law enforcement. And it's a quick fix for a budget challenge. Long term, my experience has been the same, and that is it takes several years to correct that after you do it. We are going to come back with some creative strategies to accomplish a flat budget, but also try to avoid that from happening. One specific example I gave during the law board meeting is what happens when you forego scheduled step increases called merit increases. So it creates a phenomenon called pay compression. And what that means is down the road, you'll have a more senior officer or employee in the same job as a less senior one, and they're making the same money because one year the merit was not awarded. And my experience has been that when that happens, it creates morale problems, and then down the road, you eventually have to fix it. And it costs more money then than it would if you had kept the merits in place and cut in other areas. I can give you other examples of challenges, but this is direct experience I've had, and it's something I'm going to try to avoid at all costs.
Sure. Well, and there's a unique challenge, I think, that you're in with the police department, because not only do you have to have officers on staff, even with crime being down a little bit, you still want to have enough people on staff and not have to worry about overworking folks.
Well, you bring up a good point that I've talked about internally, and I've talked about with others. We have an authorized strength, and we often look at that number and feel as though that's everybody that we have available, whether it's a support role or an operational role. And then I always talk about deployed strength, and the two are never the same. And with us, you always have employees that are on vacation, in training, and for us, more so than any place I've ever been, military obligations, whether it's weekend drills or long-term deployment. And we have absolutely zero control over that when it happens, according to federal law. Then when you have a situation where employees are out on sick leave because of COVID-19 precautions, not because they have it, but because we're taking precautions, the deployable strength is usually at least 10% lower than what your authorized strength is. So the perception that if we hold positions open and we don't hire those positions doesn't close that gap between deployable and authorized strength. It just reduces your deployable strength even more because you're not filling those positions. It's something that I can talk more about with the law board or any of the governing bodies if they have questions. But it's not a theory. It's been my experience. That's what you see, and it makes it more challenging when you're calling employees in to work when they're scheduled to be off. It creates burnout. It creates mental health issues in the long term. I've seen that too. So I want to work as hard as I can to avoid that.
I know we read a story here on our state news this morning about the Topeka Police Department and their union representing police officers and firefighters rejecting a proposal to make a temporary pay cut. And is that even on the table right now for RCPD?
I haven't been asked by the law board or in comments I've heard from the city commission specifically any sentiment to cut pay for our officers or support personnel. That is not what my budget is proposing when I come forward back next month with those changes, those reductions to have a flat budget. Even though I anticipated them wanting a flat budget, I brought back the last budget proposal with no changes because I wanted them to see that almost $900,000 increase for mostly personnel costs would be going away. You can't say you're saving money you haven't spent yet, but I wanted to demonstrate this is what we will be eliminating and probably more. I just wanted them and the public to see that so they knew the challenge that we were facing and what we were going to do to address it. If I can make one more point real quick, one of the other things I looked at is since 2017, non-personnel expenses have been reduced in this department by $460,000. And I thought it was important to demonstrate the contrast of we are investing in our people. 86% of our budget involves personnel. It's important for the community to know that our investments have been in the people that we hire and the services they provide. So there was not a commensurate increase in non-personnel items. In fact, there was almost $500,000 decrease over the last 4 years. I think that's important for people to keep in mind as we move forward.
All right. I got a question here about COLA increases. Can you get creative with something like that, even with a zero budget?
We can. We have several options we're working on. I'm not going to say that COLAs will be funded at what was proposed. I'm not saying they'll be completely eliminated, but we are coming forward with more than one option on how to address that as well.
Okay, very good. Well, I'll tell you what, let's take a break, and we'll continue our conversation with Director Butler from the Riley County Police Department after this. You're listening to In Focus on KMAN.